Kof Vov Teves, Thursday the 23rd of January, Dain Yehonasan David Hul, Heta Iska.
Good morning. Everybody knows that there's an Issa of Ribis. The Torah forbids a Jewish person from taking a payment of interest on a loan or paying a payment of interest on a loan to another Jewish person. The issue is both the person who pays the interest and the person who takes it. It's only if both parties are Jewish. There's nothing wrong with paying interest to a non-Jew, and there's nothing wrong with taking interest from a non-Jew, as far as halacha is concerned. The Torah says you're not allowed to do it. The Torah says that this applies whether the loan is in money or whether it's in some other form. For example, if you lend £100 on the condition that the person at a later date will give you back £120, that's ribis min ha-Torah. If you lend a sack of wheat on the condition that the person who borrows it will give you back two sacks of wheat, that's ribis min ha-Torah. When it comes to a form of mekach or memkach, where the thing that you're giving is not the same thing that you're going to receive back, that's a form of a sale, then, min ha-Torah, there's no issue of ribis. So if you pay somebody in advance for something which cost £120, and you pay him today £100, and he gives it back to you in 6 months' time, he gives you the goods that you've asked for, which really all along have cost £120, there's no loan, as far as the Torah is concerned, but the Rabbanon forbade it as well. So it's also awesome with the Rabbanon. There's many, many different situations that involve potential ribis to Rabbanon, and we're obviously not going to discuss all of that today. What we want to discuss today is the concept of heta iska, and that is a device which enables a person to lend money and get a profit back on the money that he's lent. Again, we're talking about two Jewish parties, and it's not forbidden al pi halacha. So, first of all, to explain that the concept of iska, the word iska and the concept of iska appears in the Gemara in several places, but that is not what we mean when we say heta iska. Heta iska is something very specific, which we'll come on to in a few moments, Mitzvah Shem, which does not appear anywhere in the Gemara. The idea and the concept behind it, the basis of the idea behind it, appears in the Gemara. But the actual heter iska, and the reason why it allows a person to take a profit on his money, doesn't appear anywhere in the Gemara. It's something which comes much, much later. It's only a few hundred years old. There was a device which was invented some hundreds of years ago in order to enable people to take, if you like, commercial loans and make a profit on it. So first of all, let's talk about the iska that appears in the Gemara. The Gemara says, it's a Gemara in Bamatzidaf, Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, Omri Nehardor, Hai Iska, Palga Milve, or Palga Pikodon. An Iska is a half loan, half deposit. Ovid Rabbonon Milsa de Nicholela Loiva, Ben Nicholela Malva. The Gemara says that Chazal set this up, this concept of an Iska. It's something which is good for both parties. How does it work? Reuven wants to invest his money somewhere. Shimon has got some sort of investment that he wants to do. Reuven gives money, £100, to Shimon. If he were to give it as a loan, a £100 loan, then Shimon would have to pay him back the £100. Reuven cannot ask for any interest on that, obviously. So what they do is Reuven says, I'm giving you £100. Half of it is a loan, and that you have to pay me back no matter what. Whether the investment goes up or down, it's your problem because I'm lending you the money. The other half is a pikodon. It's my money which I'm giving to you to look after and to invest on my behalf. Now Shimon has £100 in his pocket. He goes off and he buys goods or whatever it is, sells them on. If there's a profit made, the profit is shared by both parties. Reuven gets half of the profit, because Shimon gets half of the profit, because half of the money has been lent to him, it's his money, so he keeps half of the profit. Reuven also gets half of the profit, because half of the money is his being held by somebody else on trust for him, in order to make money for on his behalf. And therefore, he deserves half of the profits. So that's a way in which Reuven can give £100 and actually get back if there's a profit of £20, for argument's sake, you get back actually £110. The trouble is, obviously, that, as they say in the advertisements, every investment can go up and it can also go down. If it goes down, then the first £50 as a halvor is a loan. Shimon still has to pay that back no matter what happens. If you lend someone money and he says, I invested and it went down, it's too bad, you still owe me the money. But the second £50, which is Reuben's money being held by Shimon and invested on his behalf, if it goes down, then Reuben has to take a loss. But that's how it works in the times of the Gomorrah. It was a way to invest your money and give someone else the opportunity to make money on your behalf. But rather than make it a straight loan, they made it a shutfus of partnership. If it went up, you shared the profits. If it went down, you shared the losses. Says the Gemara, even though half of it, we'll call it the first half for argument's sake, is a loan, that doesn't mean to say that it's a loan in the regular sense. Normally, if I lend someone money, it's up to him to do with it whatever he wants. It's his money now. He owes me money back, but he can do with it whatever he wants. In the case of Iskar, I'm giving him £100 to invest. That's the idea. And invest in a partnership venture on behalf of both of us. So he has to invest the money. He cannot, obviously, my half of the money, he's got to go and invest it in a sensible investment. But even his half of the money, he's got to also use it in his investment. £100 of capital will give you more opportunity to invest than just £50. So the deal is, I'm lending him £50, which means the achrayus, the liability of those £50 is on him. But it's not a regular loan that he can do with it whatever he wants. He's got to actually use it for the benefit of the partnership. So in the words of the Gemara, Rava Omar Lahochi Kori Le Iska, Domelechi Yehidna Lochli Yasuki Bei Velo Le Mishte Bei Shichra. I'm giving you the half of the loan to make money together with my half, and not, as the Gemara says, to drink beer with it. In other words, to spend it on yourself and not invest on behalf of the partnership. There's another reason why this type of milvah, this type of halvor, the £50 halvor part, is not like a regular loan. And that is, according to halacha, the strict halacha, if a person dies and he owes money and he doesn't leave behind any real estate, he only leaves behind metaltlin, then meikar adin, you cannot claim your loan from the yerushim, from the estate, unless there is karka there, unless there's some real estate there. If there's only movable goods, chattels, you can't claim a milvah from that, from the yerushim. However, says the Gemara, in the case of Iska, even not only the £50 pikod, which is obviously your money, you can get it back. That's not claim it from the estate. It's actually the estate, part of that estate belongs to you. But even the money that you lent, uniquely in the case of Iska, since this half of the milvah is actually part of a combined investment, you can actually get that back from the yerushim, from the estate, even if there is no real estate there. So that's the Iska that Gemara's talking about. There is an extra point, which the Gemara points out elsewhere, as the Gemara in Bava Metzia, it starts with the Mishnah in Daf Safches Amud Aleph, and goes on in the Sugya to explain that we still have a little problem with Ribis here, in such an arrangement with an Iska. And what's the problem? The problem is that if you give somebody £100 with an Iska, what the Gemara calls an Iska, half of it is a loan, half of it is your money to be invested. What in effect is happening is that Shimon is now going and investing the money. He's got the opportunity to make for himself half of the profits, and he's making for me half of the profits. Normally, if someone were to work on my behalf, I would pay him for it. Why is Shimon investing my money on my behalf? People don't usually work for free. The reason he's doing it clearly is because I lent him the other half. I've given him the opportunity to make money by lending him £50, so he's willing to take all of the money and invest on my behalf £50 of my money as well to bring me profits. That itself is ribis. His service that he provides for investing my money on my behalf and giving me my return is in exchange for the fact that I've lent him money. That is ribis. And the way around that, says the Mishnah and the Gemara subsequently, is I have to make him some type of payment for the fact that he's working for me. And the Gemara discusses how much the payment has to be. If it's arranged in advance, then it doesn't need to be much at all. It can be a token payment. If it's not arranged in advance, it has to be more. But that's the basic concept of Iska. I give someone money. Half of it is a loan to him. The other half is a pikod. It's my money. He goes and invests it. We share the profits and losses. I pay him a small amount for the fact that he's working for me. so that it shouldn't be ribis, the work itself that he's doing on my behalf in exchange for the loan. The concept of a heter iska is completely different altogether. That would be fine if we were in a situation where the person who lent the money, the malveh, is prepared to take a loss in the event that the investment goes down. Half of the money belongs to him, and if it goes down, he'll lose proportionately. But there were people who didn't want to do that. They wanted to guarantee that they wouldn't lose any money, and yet make a profit. The problem with that is that that inherently presents a problem. If you give money to someone else, and you're guaranteed to get it back, whether it goes up or down, in effect, that is a loan. What is the difference between me giving money as a loan, or me giving money as my money to be invested on someone else's behalf? The difference is, if it's my money, I take a hit if it goes down. If I'm guaranteed to get my money back, that is a loan, as far as the law is concerned. In effect, it's a loan. I've lent money, and I'm going to get it back, even if the investment goes down. So, they looked for a way whereby the person who gives the money is fairly guaranteed, or as much as possible guaranteed, to get his money back. And perhaps, as we'll see, even more or less guaranteed to get a profit. But at the same time, not 100% guaranteed. Because again, if he's 100% guaranteed to get his money back, that is a loan. And if he's guaranteed to get a return on his money, that's interest on the loan. So what did they do? They structured a new agreement, which they called a heter iska. And it works like this. A heter iska, it should be clear by now, is not simply a document which you sign and then everything works. Al manos, shalom, lechal, shabbos, and it works. There's no such thing as that. There's no magic wand that you sign a heter iska and you can lend money with ribbons. The point of a heter iska is it converts your loan rather into an investment, or at least partly an investment, and yet minimizes the risk to the investor, but at the same time doesn't eliminate it altogether. So what did they do? They said, this is what the agreement between the two parties is. I'm going to give you an iska, I'm going to give you £100, half of it is a milva, half of it is a loan, half of it is a pikavon, the other half is my money which you invested in my behalf. And we share the profits and the losses. However, it's agreed between the two parties that you, Mr. Shimon, who's going to take the money and invest it, have agreed that you will not be believed to say that there was any loss to the capital unless you bring two kosher witnesses to testify to that effect. Two kosher witnesses means two adult Jewish observant males who are competent, who are not related to each other or either of us, and have no financial interest in the testimony that they're giving.
Does the bell?
Sorry? The bell? Well, I want to explain. Now, the point of this is that what are the chances that he's going to be able to come along and actually find two adult Jewish competent males who are not related to each other, not related to either party, and have no financial interest in the case, who can testify first-hand evidence that they know that money was lost on this investment? That is pretty slim. It's unlikely he'll actually be able to do that. In later versions of the Heter Iska, they made it even more difficult to be able to bring aid in, because they wrote into the Heter Iska that I'm giving you this money and you can invest it in anything that you want. And perhaps even at a later stage, they used to write in, by me giving this to you, I am already taking an investment in any of your investments that you may have anywhere in the world. Now, for two witnesses to come along and say, we know for a fact all of this man's assets, all of his investments, and we can testify that they all went down and no profit was made anywhere, is going to be very, very difficult. It's not impossible, and again, if it was impossible, then I'm guaranteed to get my money back. And once I'm guaranteed to get my money back, we're back to the problem of a loan. But we made it difficult for him not to give me back my keren, my principal, and yet, at the same time, it's half loan, half a pikavon. So if there is a loss to the capital, it's very unlikely I'm going to lose it. Then they went a stage further and they said, what about the profit? I want to make sure I get a profit as well. I want to be also pretty much guaranteed that I'm going to get my profit as well. So the way they worked this was as follows. They said, I'm giving you half a milva, half a pikavon. You go and invest it. you will only be believed to say that I didn't make a profit, or even it made a profit, but how much the profit is, if you come to a Beis Din, hold a Sefer Torah, and make the Shavua D'Oraisa that there was no profit, or that there was only a small amount of profit. There's an extra condition, that if, rather than make this Shavua, rather than swear this oath, you are prepared to pay me 2% annually, or 5% annually, I will take that payment in lieu of your Shavua. So now what happens? I lend the person the money for a year, I come after a year, and I say, where's my money? So he says, well, the capital got lost. I invested something, it went down, and I lost everything. So I have to pay you back half your money, half is a milver, but I don't have to pay that the other half, that was your money. So I say to him, bring two witnesses that that money was lost. He can't do that, so he's going to give me back my principal. Now I say to him, what about profit? He said, I didn't make any profit, I just told you I didn't make any profit. I said, but you said, you've agreed that you're not going to be believed to say there was no profit unless you swear an oath with a Sefer Torah. So first of all, I don't want to do that. Even ala emes, the Gemara says, someone, loisiso, the whole world shook when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said loisiso. People don't make, generally, aren't prepared to make a swear an oath in a Beis Din, holding a Sefer Torah, even if they're telling the absolute truth. So the fellow says, right, I don't want to make a swore, but is there a way out? You said, yes, we wrote in the Shtar that if you pay me 5% annually, I'll take that in lieu of the swore. So he pays me 5%. So I ended up getting back £100 plus £5, but I haven't actually taken any interest at all. The original loan isn't 100% guaranteed, because half is a milver, half is a begotten, but I'll almost certainly get my money back, because he's not going to be able to find two witnesses. The extra money I'm taking is not interest. I'm taking it because he doesn't want to make a shvur. Instead of making a shvur, he's paying me money in lieu of the shvur, but he's not paying me interest on any loan. That is, in a nutshell, the classic heter iska. And again, it doesn't appear anywhere in the Gemara. It doesn't even really appear in the Shulchan Aruch. It appears in the Nosei Kena with the Shulchan Aruch. But it does go back several hundred years. There are all sorts of additions to the various different stories of heter iska, but that's the basic concept. I want to say a couple of things about the practical applications of heter iska. The first one is that it's very common that people nowadays use a heter iska. The rate of return that they're, the amount of the return, the percentage of return they expect to get on their money, is unusually high. People lend money with a 9% semi-annual return, or an 18% annual return, which is the equivalent, or something like that. This whole concept of heter iska is, again, based on the fact that when I give the money, and this is the usual nusach, there are adaptations to this, but the usual nusach is half of it is a loan and half of it is an investment. If I give someone £100 or £100,000 on those conditions, and I say that I want 18% back, that means in reality I'm predicting that we're going to make 36% profit on this. Because 18% is half mine and half his. True, the reason why I'm going to get the money ultimately is because he doesn't want to make a shvur. But ultimately what I'm saying is he's prepared to take that upon himself because he thinks he will be able to bring the profit of 36% and give me my half. That's what he thinks he's going to do. If that's a realistic investment, then I'm going to get 36% return on my money, that's okay. But if it's unlikely or unrealistic, then in effect, the whole thing is a joke. You're not really doing a half investment, half loan. You're lending money with interest. You can't really justify it if, from a business point of view, it simply doesn't make sense. There's no way you're going to make 36% profit on this £100,000. If you do that, then in effect, the heter iska is a legal fiction, and it will not help in halacha. If you come to Beis Din afterwards and demand your £136,000 or £118,000, I can tell you now, you won't get it. You might get back your principal, you might get back some return, you're not going to get back 18% return, because the Beis Din is going to say, that's not an investment, excuse me, that is a loan with a high rate of interest, and the fact that you've structured it and written it as officially a heter iska, there's no way that it makes commercial sense, means that you're not going to get it. So that's number one. Number two, in general, don't ever lend money with a heter iska, and don't borrow any money with a heter iska. And the reason for this is that, unfortunately, in my line of work, we meet the people who've lost the money. We very rarely meet people who've made any money. And all too often we find in the community people borrowing money at relatively high rates, but even if they're not such high rates, with a heter iska, which means it's on pi halacha perfectly permissible, but they do this on the understanding, on the naive understanding that they're genuinely going to bring in a return, or they're going to speculate with something which they think they've heard is a good investment. And more often than not, or certainly often, it ends up that everything goes haywire, everything goes south, there is no profit, there's usually a loss, often a wipeout entirely, and the person who's given the money comes along to Basin and says, I lent him £30,000. It was originally supposed to be for 6 months. It's gone up to 2 years. He keeps telling me he's about to make money. He hasn't made any money. The ISCA payments mean that he now owes me £55,000. And the other fellow turns around and says, it's true. I invested it. I lost it. I don't have any money. I cannot pay him. I will pay him in Mizrach Hashem one day. Meanwhile, according to the ISCA payments, it's going up the whole time every month. And the other person is saying, I need my £55,000 back myself. It wasn't spare money that I can afford to lose. Forget the £25,000 extras. Just give me my Karen back. Give me my principal. I need that £30,000 back. And he said, I would love to give it to you, but I don't have it. Do you have a house that you're going to have to sell in order to pay up? No, I'm renting. Do you have any assets? Nothing. I don't have anything. Unfortunately, this happens all too often. It's even worse when you get either young newlyweds or, worse still, bocherim, who've got no idea what they're doing financially, who take money with heter iska on all sorts of harebrained schemes and find themselves 3 or 4 months down the line with no way to pay it back and watching the payments and the chov increase all the time. So therefore, unless you've taken solid financial advice, or you really do know what you're doing, don't ever give or take money with a heter iska. Now, I want to say something else. There are, even with legitimate deals, cases of companies, finance companies, which are using what they call a heter iska, which are, to say the least, very questionable. I'll tell you the common scenario that businessmen use heter iskas for short-term bridging loans. A property dealer goes to an auction and he buys a property in an auction. He's got to put down 10% deposit straight away in order to guarantee that he gets it. So he puts down 10%. Now he's got to raise another 90% to complete within 2 weeks, 30 days, whatever the time period is. 90% of the property, it could be, for argument's sake, £1 million house. He's got to find another £900,000. So he's going to go to the bank and get a mortgage. However, till he gets the mortgage organised, a proper mortgage offer from the bank, and have the funds available, might take some time. He hasn't got time because he's got to close, and if he doesn't close within the period of time allotted, he's going to lose his deposit. So he takes a short-term bridging loan. He goes to a finance company and he says, can you lend me £900,000 at a rate of interest which is obviously a lot, quite considerably more than a regular long-term mortgage would cost him, but he needs it desperately. And within 30 days, I'll be able to close with this money. And within a few weeks after that, hopefully I'll have all the mortgage payments organised, I'll pay back the loan. It was costly, but it's worthwhile because it's only short term, and I need the money, and in the long term, I will make a lot of money on this deal. So he tells the finance company. Now, some of these finance companies are owned by Jewish people. You can take interest and pay interest to a non-Jewish person, but not to a Jewish person. The only way you're allowed to take this money as a short-term bridging loan is with a heter iska. Now, there are some Jewish-owned finance companies who, even though they understand that the heter iska minimizes the risk to the lender and almost certainly guarantees his principal and even a good return, will nonetheless not want to use a heter iska because they want to be 100% guaranteed. We have a problem if you're 100% guaranteed to a loan. And you can tell them that the banks in Israel and the credit companies in Israel all use a heter iska, but that's not good enough for them. They want no risk whatsoever. So what they've done is, they've added in a clause into the heter iska contract, which says as follows. I'm giving you the money, half milva, half pikodon, and you can go and invest it. We share the profits and losses. You're not believed to say there's any loss to the carrier without the witnesses. You're not believed to say what the rate of return was or profit was without making a shmur, or in lieu of a shmur, you pay me 5%, 10%, whatever it is. But we're adding something else in. We're saying that you have to invest money in a particular scheme, in investment A, and if you don't invest it in investment A, you take full liability for what happens if anything goes wrong. Now, what can happen is, you give him the money, he then goes and invests in investment B. Now, if it makes a profit, we share the profits. If it loses, now he's accepted full liability for anything that goes wrong. It sounds a bit of a dre, but the Shulchan Aruch does bring down such a halacha, and it's based on a Tosfos and a Trumas HaDeshen, who actually allow it. And the way that works is that we look at it as not accepting liability for the money, because that would in effect mean it's a loan, but rather saying it's a knas, it's a fine on you, that if you go against the condition of the agreement, and the condition was you can only invest in investment A, if you do that and go against it, you accept to pay a fine for doing that by investing in investment B. So it's a bit of a chiddush that such a thing should work, but the Shulchan Aruch does say such a thing. They take this a stage further and they say, let's do this when lechatchila we both know at the outset that you're actually going to go and invest in investment B. You're asking for the money for investment B. But we write in the shtar, it's a regular iska, heter iska, but you can only invest in investment A. And if you're going to only invest in investment A, if you invest in investment B, then you have to pay a fine. Well, now this is looking more and more like a harom. This is looking like a drek. We both know that you're actually going to go and invest in investment B, so we both know you're going to accept liability for it. Difficult now to say that we're fining you for doing something against the agreement, when we both know that that's exactly what you want to do, and that's why I give you the money. Then they make it even worse, and they add in that I'm not allowing you to invest in investment A. I'm giving you the money, and you have to put it in the bank and get a return from the bank and leave it there the whole time. And if you don't do that, but you invest anywhere else, you accept upon yourself liability. As a knas, not chas v'shalom as liability to convert it into alvol, that would be rubbish, but as a fine. Now it's starting to get very absurd, because in the bank, everybody knows you're not going to get more than 1% or roughly, something like that. And yet, the person is promising he's going to put it in the bank and for the whole time, leave it there in a secure bank account and get 1% return. He's not going to invest it anywhere else. Yet we both know that the purpose of giving him the loan is to invest somewhere else. And if he doesn't make a shmur, he's going to give me 8%. This is getting really absurd. But all of that is not as bad as the last bit. What happens now is, in some cases, when I ask this finance company for a commercial loan, for a short-term bridging loan, so they give me £900,000 with all these conditions of heter iska. The thing is, in the vast majority of cases, they don't give me the money. Because if I have £900,000 with all the commitments in the world, I could jump the country, move off to the Canary Islands, they'll never hear from me again. The finance company wires the money directly to the seller, to the vendor of the property. Or to the solicitors who hold it on behalf of the seller. That's how it usually works. Well, if that's the case, then my whole heter iska is bottle mavutl. You can't tell me that I've committed myself to putting it in the bank or even investing in investment A, when we both know I'm investing in investment B, and we've set it up in such a situation that there is no way I can put it in the bank or invest in investment aid, because you're not even giving me the money. You're transferring the money direct to the vendor or to the vendor solicitors. So the whole thing is a joke. I've committed myself to doing something which not only I'm not likely to do, not only we both know I'm not going to do, but there's no way I could do. And based on that commitment, we're somehow getting out of the fact that it's a heter iska. It's really a homoeuroeus. Simply doesn't work. There is a particular finance company who I understand are using such a document. I've contacted them and asked them to send me a copy of their heter iska so I can review it. They've refused to do so. So I can't say for sure that they're doing it. It's a Jewish-owned company. But it seems fairly self-evident that they are. There may be others that are doing this as well. So to sum up, a heter iska is a device which has been used historically to enable a person to lend money with interest. It's not a loan. It's in effect at least a half of an investment, possibly in other cases even more than a half of an investment. It is a legitimate way of investing money with somebody else. It's not ideal, and if you can avoid it, you should. If you are going to a Jewish-owned finance company to use, and they claim to have a heter iska, make sure that this heter iska is reviewed by a competent rov or dayan who is an expert in these halachas. Because it's very possible that what they call a heter iska, which seems on the face of it to have all the formalities of a heter iska, is actually absolutely useless. And in effect, you're lending money with ribis, which is potentially is a deraisa. Borrowing money with ribis and paying back is a deraisa. And for commercial reasons, it doesn't make sense, because the Gemara says that someone who borrows money with ribis and lends money with ribis, someone who lends money with ribis, you will lose all of your money anyway. So it's sound business advice not to get involved in such a thing at all. But certainly, purely from the halakhic point of view, be very careful to make sure the heter iska either has a legitimate, competent Talmud Chacham behind it who's reviewed it, or you take it yourself to somebody who knows about these things in order to ensure that it is genuinely valid and will not cause you to be over any surin.